Live Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms. We're in Psalm 18. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
I was in dire straits, and when I prayed, God moved.
You need to recognize that God moves for His children. Now, there's conditions here on how much He's going to move, and He's going to talk about that in a minute, but He always moves. He always moves. He always makes a judgment call on how He's going to handle any given prayer that comes into His presence. In David's case, David was a man after God's own heart. He knew what it was to sing in the wilderness all by himself, just out by the sheepfold. He knew what it was to take down a lion and a bear, and he wasn't afraid of Goliath in his youth. As he got older, got a little bit more weather-worn, he got a little bit more comfortable, he had a lot more men around him, but when things got dicey and he was on his own, God showed up for him even in those places. The Bible says the earth shook in verse 7 and trembled. The foundations also of the hills, they moved and were shaken because he was wroth. Why was God wroth? Because his child, the apple of his eye, was hurting. When your child hurts for cause, it moves you. He is the one who understands what you're going through, what you're up against, what you're facing. And when he is your rear guard, when he is the love of your life, you will have that ability to move his heart with the wrath. He will be jealous for you. The Bible says in verse 8, there went up a smoke out of his nostrils, fire out of his mouth devoured, and it says coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down. Something we don't oftentimes ask ourselves when we're thinking about this dicey situation we're in. I want to ask you the question. If you had to come down to it, what would it take to make you really, really fight? David knew what it was to be a soldier. What would it take? What do you defend? David had to ask that question in his journeys. For many people, it's hearth and home, and that's where they stop. But can I tell you that if it's hearth and home, those can be taken from you. You have to go deeper. If you're going to fight the fight of the faith, and you know, like Paul says, you know, I've fought the fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. What was it all about? It can't be hearth and home. That can't be enough. Because the world's weird now, right? I mean, hearth and home isn't what it used to be. But what about going a level higher? You're defending Him. You're defending His name. You're fighting the fight. You're fighting against your sin. You're fighting against the flesh. You're fighting against the devil. And if you have to, you have to stand in front of military leaders, and you have to stand before administrators, before people of a repute, before people who have authority. And maybe you just have to say, I'm fighting for Him just by standing here today. If you're the one like the three Hebrews who had to not bow at this altar that was created in an image by Nebuchadnezzar, if you have to do that, you just aren't bowing. And that's enough. You're fighting a fight and you're hazarding it all. And if they push you, you can say, our God is able. But even if He doesn't, King, just know this. Our God is able. And we will not bow. You are living in a day where it may come to that. They may come to your door. And they may ask you for your papers, as they say. And they already did it here for a minute, didn't they? They gave me papers so I could travel back and forth to Cleveland back in 2020. They said, nobody picked me up, nobody asked, but if they pulled me over, what are you doing out? And they did that in other countries. That's what they were doing. We were going through the same steps that they were over in other countries, but the other countries didn't have the freedoms that we have. So not many people were really pulled over, but I had the paper. Mark Levin lamented it. Man, we had to have our papers in America? What's that all about? Sounds like Germany. The Bible says in verse 9, it says, He bowed the heavens and He came down, and darkness was under His feet. He rode upon the cherub, and He did fly. Yea, He did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness His secret place. His pavilion round about Him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before Him, His thick clouds passed. In other words, He is an awesome, amazing God, who no man can get near. The angels themselves have to cover their faces. But when He moved in, He let the clouds cover that so He could get down real close to you. Do you know how close he got to you? He got so close that he felt every sin you ever committed. And he absorbed it. He got so close that he felt every passion and every iniquity and every lie and every bad word, every bad thought, every hatred, every bitterness and every shame. And he drew near and he took it from you. Because he loved you that much. And he's not going to easily abandon anybody in a place that's really dicey. That he paid that kind of price for. He's going to draw near. David said it in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." A minute ago he was leading him, now he's with him. He's with me. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His brightness was covered with thick clouds as he passed by. Verse 12 says, "Hailstones and coals of fire." When you see hailstones and coals of fire, you perhaps remember that hail was part of the plagues that was falling down on Egypt. The Bible says in Exodus 9, it says, "And Moses stretched forth his rod toward the heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail. And the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt." That's verse 23. 26 says, "Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel was, there was no hail." He can do that. He can bring that lightning bolt right here and miss you and see to it. If that's his will. And he gives you tokens along the way, just what you need, so you'll know it's him. And if he asks you to go into a dark, dark place, he's with you. You need to see that. Hail is mentioned then thereafter in other passages. Isaiah 30, verse 15 says, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." Sounds beautiful, doesn't it? Isaiah 30, but let me tell you what the rest of the verse says. It's a quick phrase. It says, "But you would not." You would not. We go big now, right? We go high. We go to the big picture. America's in trouble because America used to be here. But now they won't go there again. Right now, America's in trouble. But the truth still remains. He was David's strong tower. He was David's deliverance. He was David's deliverer. He was David's darling. David's darling. And if he's yours, then you can have confidence and quietness and rest. You can't depend on me. You can't depend on your mate. You can't depend on your parents. You've got to have that relationship. You've got to move. David was the last man brought in to Samuel when they were looking for the king to anoint. Oh, he's just a kid. He's a ruddy thing. His brothers despised and mocked him. Doesn't matter what's going on around you. Love Jesus and He will be there for you. He will bow the heavens and come down. Your words will go into His presence. That was the conviction of this psalmist, David. The Bible goes on in Isaiah 30. It says, "And therefore will the Lord wait that He may be gracious unto you." What's that all about? I've been AWOL. I've been, you know, not devoted. And you just said it. You just said it. "I would not be comforted. I would not enter into your rest like I should." He says, "But the Lord still, He's so good. He's so good. He'll wait. He'll wait. He's long suffering. He's waiting on you." World's getting creepier and creepier. It's creeping up on you. He says, "Therefore will the Lord wait that He may be gracious unto you. Therefore will He be exalted." See what David did? Said, I will love you, Lord. I will love you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to cherish you. Your name has come on hard times. Nobody's honoring you. I will honor you. I love you. He says, "I will wait and I will be gracious unto you. And therefore will the Lord be exalted that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. But blessed are all they that wait for Him." And another verse from this wonderful passage in Isaiah 30, it says, "And the Lord shall cause His glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lightning of His arm, and with the indignation of His anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempests," and here it is, "hailstones." You know, it's coming, right? It's the bold judgments, hailstones, 100-pound hailstones. This world is upheaval and upheaval. God is on the move. He's allowing it. But you and I are here and we're thinking this is really, really strange. But it's not foreign. Verse 12 in our passage in 18, Psalm 18. He says, "He passed in hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave His voice." Verse 13, "hailstones and coals of fire." It's coming on the world. "Yea, He sent out His arrows and He scattered them. And He shot out lightnings and He discomfited them." What's that mean? That means everything that was formed against the warrior for God was something He took personally. They would only hit the mark He would have it hit. "I will love Thee, O Lord. I will love Thee." Then channels of water were seen. Foundations of the world were discovered, verse 15, "at Thy rebuke." He reminds himself of what happened with Moses in the Red Sea. "O Lord, the blast of Thy breath and of Thy nostrils, of the breath of Thy nostrils," he says, "He sent from above and He took me and He drew me out of many waters." That's where you were. I don't know if you've ever been there where you felt like you were losing it in some kind of a waterway. I was swimming across a large river that had a pretty strong current and didn't realize that it was a current. I wasn't familiar enough with water like that. But it was the Delaware Water Gap. The Delaware River, I guess that would be, right? Delaware River, I think, over in the Poconos. My wife and I were out there. She was a pretty strong swimmer. She was a lifeguard at one time. She was a lifeguard until that blue kid got her fired. But anyway, that's just a little something else. She didn't get fired for the blue kid. Anyway, she was a lifeguard and all that. But not me. I could just swim enough to keep myself going. But I got out in the middle of that water. I mean, I started getting a little nervous. That's scary, right? It's taking me. And I'm like, okay, I'm getting tired here. I'm getting winded. I was young, so it wasn't that. It was just, that's what it feels like sometimes. World gets kind of goofy. Want to roll up into a fetal position because there's nothing you can do. There's a lot of people getting really undone out there. Can I say to you, run to the Lord and you won't have to worry about anything that comes on this earth. Come to Jesus and you won't have to worry about all this. You get to go through it, you get to see it, but you won't have to worry about it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when you have that, the Bible says, perfect love will cast out that initial fear. And the Bible says, and then God will not have given you, you will find the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Think about that. Would He give us a spirit of fear? No. Love, because you're here to love other people. You got something to do. You got work to do. Some people are like, just tell me what I can do. I want to do something. I'm telling you what you can do. Love people. Love them. Love them. That means don't argue with them. Love them. Try to help them. Help them see Jesus in you. You might not even say it with words up close. You might just show them your joy, your buoyancy. How can you be happy? How can you be calm? This world is crazy. You can be that because God's got you. You get a chance to testify. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.